administration's values. Now they were essentially saying the opposite. What are we to make of this? Judge Walker asked. The answer is found in the collision of President Biden's fervent campaign trail promises to undo Donald Trump's harsh immigration policies and the grim reality of trying to manage a surge of migrants crossings amid criticism from Republicans that the president is weak on border security. The government lawyers in Judge Walker's courtroom were fighting to uphold a Trump-era public health rule allowing the United States to turn away migrants without providing them an opportunity to ask for asylum. They have sought to defend the Biden administration and former Trump administration officials against lawsuits from parents who were separated from their children at the border, even after Joe Biden called the separations criminal. And winners of a visa lottery, including those increasingly at risk in Ukraine, were surprised to see federal lawyers continue to delay the processing of their green cards. The gulf between President Biden's words and his government's legal arguments is testing the patience of some of his supporters, including top Democrats in Congress. They say the administration is not only moving too slowly on promised reforms, but also is far too willing to use and defend Trump-era policies in the meantime. The only way I know if I'm reading a Biden or Trump administration brief is by looking at the signature block, said Lee Gallant, a lawyer with the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU. Lee Gallant added, "There's simply no daylight under legal positions." The tension has also resonated inside the White House, where senior officials have been anxious that unwinding the Trump-era border restrictions would open the United States to an increase in illegal crossings at the southern border with Mexico and fuel Republican attacks that Joe Biden is too lenient on illegal immigration. Lee Gallant, a lawyer with the American Civil Liberties Union, cautioned that the similarities between the approaches of the Biden and Trump administrations extended only to Mr. Biden's defense of certain immigration restrictions. Mr. Gallant acknowledges that the Biden administration had worked to unwind other policies and help unite minors who were separated from their parents. "Are Biden and Trump the same on immigration?" "No," said Mr. Gallant, who is representing families who were separated at the southern border with Mexico in 2018. "Has Biden lived up to his campaign rhetoric?" "Also no." President Biden has indeed taken steps to roll back much of his predecessor's agenda on immigration, including sweeping bans on Muslim-majority countries and a rule allowing officials to deny green cards to immigrants in need of public assistance. He has taken nearly 300 executive actions on immigration, according to the Migration Policy Institute. Nearly 90 of them were to at least begin rolling back Trump administration policies, most of them technical rules that typically went unnoticed by the public. The administration has also allowed minors to cross the southern border with Mexico. This weekend, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention exempted children and teenagers from the Trump-era border rule, which justifies rapidly turning away migrants as a public health measure, minutes before a court order would have forced President Biden to apply the rule to the minors. Weeks before he came into office, Joe Biden warned that he would need time to undo Trump-era rules, in part because he said unwinding them immediately could encourage migrants to journey to the border. While the administration declined to comment on continuing litigation, Vedant Patel, a White House spokesman, said, We all agree that our immigration system is outdated and in bad need of reform. But, he said, making the necessary changes isn't going to happen overnight. Still, many people are saying time is running out for them. Irina Bohdan, a 50-year-old Ukrainian, won a green card lottery in May of 2019 through the Diversity Visa Program, which prioritizes countries with low levels of immigration to the United States. But she was barred from entering the United States because of the Trump administration's pandemic restrictions. She got her hopes up when Joe Biden took office because he had celebrated the visa lottery during his campaign and even proposed expanding the program by about 25,000 visas. Last fall, two judges ordered the Biden administration to process the backlog visas this year. But Justice Department lawyers have appealed the court orders, saying the government still lacks the resources to process the visa applicants without delaying future winners of the lottery. This month, the lawyers also argued that the orders would undermine the president's ability to impose future travel restrictions on other visa applicants. "We don't know what to do," said Ms. Bohdan, who fled to Poland this month with her 14-year-old twin sons. Speaking through a translator, she said her family had been visiting relatives in northeast Ukraine before the conflict began and did not have time to go home to get clothes, belongings, or the animals they care for at the veterinary clinic. Lawyers representing families who were separated at the border under Donald Trump said they too were surprised by President Biden's approach. While President Biden formed a task force last year to help unite minors and children who were separated from their parents under Donald Trump's zero-tolerance policy, the government walked away from settlement negotiations late last year for the families of some of the 5,500 children separated from their parents. After it was revealed that the government was considering $450,000 payouts to families, which prompted a backlash from Republicans and conservative outlets, Joe Biden told reporters that the payouts were not going to happen. The president later said the families deserve some form of compensation, but the administration pulled out of the negotiations in December and has sought to get the courts to dismiss families' lawsuits against not just the United States, but also the Trump administration officials involved with putting the policy in place. Lyndon Melmert, who served as chief counsel for the government's legal immigration agency during President George W. Bush's administration, said there had for years been a break between presidential candidates' platform and the approach taken by his legal team once in office. Lawyers for the federal government are not just focused on campaign promises, but on how one policy argument could undermine legal arguments across the government. "It's easy to write talking points," Mr. Melmert said. "It's much more difficult to run an agency." Immigration lawyers and other Democrats, including Senator Chuck Schumer, the majority leader in the Senate, have been increasingly outspoken about Joe Biden's continued use of Title 42. The emergency public health order that the government has said allowed border agents to turn away migrants at the nation's borders to prevent the spread of the coronavirus pandemic. During his presidential campaign, Joe Biden did not specifically say that he would rescind the rule, but he committed to restoring the asylum process, an opportunity denied to many migrants subject to the public health order. Vice President Kamala Harris went further when she was a senator, criticizing the Trump administration for misusing a limited public health authority as a sweeping immigration tool. Critics, including multiple former Biden administration officials, say the government is using the rule as an easy way to quickly remove migrants who are gathering at the southern border with Mexico and to fend off Republican attacks. A federal appeals court dealt a blow to the rule this month when it said the administration could no longer use the rule to expel migrant families to places where they would face persecution or torture. Even though the court allowed Joe Biden to keep the rule in place, some immigration advocates said the decision could be the beginning of the end of the border rule, and the Biden administration has drafted plans to lift it by April, according to officials. During a hearing in January, a lawyer for the government, Sharon Swingle, said using Title 42 to keep asylum seekers south of the border was necessary to reduce the spread of the coronavirus in border detention facilities. Judge Walker reminded Sharon Swingle that the Biden administration had previously argued that forcing migrants back to Mexico while they await their asylum cases would not align with the administration's values because of the risk of violence and even sexual assault from cartel members south of the border in Mexico. But Sharon Swingle once again pointed to the public health emergency as reason to continue use Donald Trump's border restrictions. "I don't believe," she said, "there is a contradiction here."
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the noble Quran and the narrations of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his holy progeny. We have in this studio our guest speaker, Sister Radhia Batul Najafi. Salamun alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Today in this program, inshallah, we will talk about some very useful tips and guidelines that how we can strengthen, instill the love of religion and the love of goodness in our teenagers' hearts. As
beautiful.
We have talked, that indirect instilling everything is most important.
Absolutely.
For our teenagers.
Yeah, that topic was really good. Yeah. That our approach towards our teenagers should be, most of the time, it should be with so much respect and indirectly. Because indirectly, automatically, you're giving respect to them. Yeah. And I remember this amazing hadith, which I never read before, in which our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Awsi'u lishabab fil majlis." Whenever you are having any gathering, if a teenager comes, you should give, you know, space and place to that teenager. Mostly, we just focus on our elderly people, parents or anyone comes, we move and, you know, we give a space. But look at this hadith says that whenever you see any teenagers are, you know, they are coming. And unfortunately, Mr. Masumi, I, you know, because of tabligh and preaching, when I travel to so many cities and countries and different cultures, unfortunately, I'm there as a scholar, yeah? So the family is there and they're introducing me that, you know, she's my mother, she's my uncle, or she's my aunt. And the boys and girls, teenagers are just moving here and there and they never introduce me in many, many, many times. And my eyes are mostly towards them and I ask them, who is she? And when they told me that she's my daughter, I said, no, you have to introduce her first. You have
she
to tell her,
yeah,
you have to tell her, sit next to me, you know, because I'm their guest. I said, you have to give importance to her. But usually, unfortunately, we are just neglecting them, you know, because of our negligence towards them. We will see so many negative impact in them because of our behavior. Yeah.
Likewise, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would behave with the teenagers. You know, that's why we can see so many teenagers, they entered Islam because just this respect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yeah. I remember the enemies of Islam, they would say, there's a person, yeah, his name is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sits in Masjid al-Haram and the youth and teens of that city is just around him. That was the introduction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Thank you so much. Dear listeners, we will take a short break. Please don't go away.
Ya muqiy al-khayrat, ya muqiy al-khayrat, ya muqiy al-khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back. So we were talking the beautiful quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, paying respect and giving respect to the teenagers, you know, the teenagers and the children who were deeply deprived and neglected people in that society.
Absolutely.
The society
I
of
totally agree with you, yeah.
Ignorance.
Yeah, even nowadays, you know, that
unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Therefore, we are just losing them. And especially when it comes to religion, we don't consider them, you know, as a member of society or a family or a center. So we don't take mostly their advices because we as an adult, we always think that we are the one, you know, we are more practicing in religion compared to them. But it's not like that. You know, their heart is more purer than us. And I say many times to parents that we are not that much beloved to Allah compared to them, because if we do any mistake, yeah, as an adult, yeah, straight away Allah will, you know, punish us because Allah has given us big opportunities of experiences because we live for 30, 40 years. But what about teens? If they do any mistake, Allah will give them some more opportunities and Allah will not take that much seriously compared to us. So, but we, that is the Allah's dealing. Allah's dealing is so beautiful. You know, Allah is so merciful towards them. But we are so harsh sometimes, you know, and our behavior tells that we are taking very, very strictly towards them when it comes to religion. Yeah, unfortunately.
And especially when it comes to the religion,
because
their normal day-to-day life, maybe they take their kids to marriage ceremonies or different their ceremonies and they pay attention to their children. But when it comes to religion, religious activities, unfortunately, they neglect.
Exactly.
And what we can do? You said by respecting, if we give a lot of respect, then they can have this the love of religion in their hearts. The other way I just want to mention with you and with our dear listeners that if we give them different ideals, we give them the role models of the religious personalities, then it can give them a big chance to study the Islamic rulings and to follow the, you know, Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.
That is beautiful,
Islam.
Yeah. Role model, it makes very difficult task easy because so easy to follow someone who's acting in front of you. You know, you can watch, you can observe that person and you can see that person is so successful and you just love to follow the steps. You know, that's it. So that is amazing. That is something doable.
That's why so many people, you know, especially in the Western countries, whenever any alim visits them, they are very keen to visit that alim with their children, fortunately.
Yeah, that I see.
Because they know this alim is a good role model for them. You know, the respect this alim gets, the, you know, attention this alim gets. And if a child, a teenager sees this in front of his eyes, then this can have a very, very good
impact. I'll tell you one thing about myself. You know, my mother, she is still now, alhamdulillah, she's a big fan of scholars, especially the turban. That is the beautiful gift of our Prophet, you know, his beautiful
the holy dress which Allah
wears. Exactly. I call it, it's like a crown. So my mother, she used to show me that, look, Razia. I remember what she used to tell me, Razia, look, many people came and people are giving respect to them, but look at the alim, the
Sorry
scholar.
Sorry to disturb you. Inshallah, you will continue.
Okay.
Dear listeners, we will have a short break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So please continue your...
Yeah, I'm just giving a small example, but which is just still there in my mind, that my mother used to show me that, look at that scholar. The moment he entered the gathering, everyone stood up, you know, and then she would say, wow, you know, this scholar, maybe, inshallah, if he's a practicing one, good one, sincere one, he is the... truly representative of our Prophet and A'imma alayhi salam. And that kind of small doses and examples and role models which she used to give me, makes me a bit, inshallah, nearer to Allah and religion. So I truly agree with this point that we have to give some very beautiful examples and role models to our teenagers. And you have given this beautiful example that, you know, we shouldn't look for the big heroes that you say, we don't have any hero, you know. No, even the resident alim and scholar, even during the month of Ramadan and during the month of Muharram, whenever you get any nice speaker who visits your city, your country, you know, you have to rush towards them. And that's enough. You shouldn't look for some very extraordinary role models. That is not practicing.
We do not have, you know, very perfect Ahlul Bayt and Imam Masumin alayhim salam. But all the scholars, they do their best. They try their best to follow the footsteps of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So they can be very good role models.
You know, we all love to follow.
And teenagers, they're more.
They're more. Yeah. That is a peak season of following. Yeah, that station, that period is something out of this world compared to other periods of our life. Yeah,
that's
no doubt.
That's why they want to copy and follow, you know, their role models, hairstyle,
exactly.
Their outlooking, their appearance, their, you know, clothing.
Even language, accents, you know, all kind of new trend and fashions easily. And they follow very beautifully, you know, that is something. So we have to take this good quality for our religious purpose. You know, for spirituality, for instilling that love of Allah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
Indirectly.
Yeah, that is a good
directly
point.
If we say, come and follow this role model, yeah, then it does not
indirectly,
have any
indirectly,
impact on
indirectly. Good point.
These worldly role models also, they do not say, come and follow me, you know, they show the way, they show their attractiveness, their attraction to our teenagers,
exactly.
Then our teenagers follow them. Dear listeners, thank you so much for joining us and listening to this beautiful discussion. If you have any kind of comments or suggestion, please write us at englishradio@irib.ir, and you can follow us on our social media at Call of Islam Radio. And if you have time, you can visit our website also, www.parstoday.com. Thank you very much for being with us. Until next episode, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us listen to a thought-provoking saying from the Holy Prophet's vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. A wise man first thinks and then speaks. A fool speaks first and then thinks.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Social news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Competition at stand-up paddleboard events is fierce, but competing on Europe's biggest underground lake adds another level of difficulty. One such race has been held in Switzerland as part of the seven-stage Alpine Lakes Tour. Some 60 paddlers have competed on the 300-meter-long underground lake on an illuminated course. Organizers named it the Bat Race because it was staged in a cave.
It's a great day because we are on an underground lake, and this only takes place here. There's nothing like this elsewhere, and really, the atmosphere is great because we are in the dark. We paddle without knowing where we are going. It's a really fun atmosphere.
Other athletes were excited about the setting, describing it as wonderful and magnificent. They said it was magical to see the trout deep underwater inside the cave. Others said they sometimes struggled to breathe, but all the participants agreed that it was absolutely fun.
Local fishermen have rescued an injured baby manatee on a bay in far southeastern Cuba. The fishermen are nursing the injured baby manatee with cow and goat milk mixed with coconut water. They discovered the injured manatee with gashes on his head and body in Maria del Portillo Bay near Havana. Upon arrival on shore, the fishermen recruited volunteers for a nearby farming village.
We were fishing along the shore when we saw the manatee coming. When it approached us, we realized it was injured. It had several wounds on its body, one on the head and two on the rest of the body. Between the two of us, we made the decision to take her to the port of Maria del Portillo, where the boats were moored. When we got there, the whole town was very surprised. Some people ran to help us, others ran to get milk. Seeing that it was small and knowing that it's a mammal, we decided to give it some milk. The people who have cows gave us cow's milk. Those who have goats gave us goat's milk.
Manatees are aquatic mammals akin to giant water-borne cow. The mammal is found in sheltered bays and estuaries throughout Cuba. Scientists say coastal communities could play a key role in protecting marine species and their habitats. Races, beauty contests, and a marvelous show. Here is everything you need to know about the first Qatar Camel Festival. Qatar kicked off its very first edition of the Camel Festival earlier this month at Lepsair, Doha. The festival features unique and high-value breeds for the public to enjoy. Camels from all around the region will also get to flaunt their posture to earn the title of the most beautiful camel or the highest value breed in the festival. But first, the whole lot should be judged.
Judging is based on the size of the camel's head, the length of the neck and the beautiful appearance of the animal and its health status. Of course, judging is different for each group of camels. For example, in the case of camels that are black, the focus is on the size of the animal's head. But on camels that are white, the focus is on the beauty of the camel and the harmony of the body and the beauty of the animal. In addition, we have very experienced professional staff who will deal with the animal if it is artificially beautified.
To spike excitement and competitiveness in those who enjoy such shows, the country has allocated a whopping 47 million Qatari riyals for the lucky winners. The 45-day event will last until March 22nd and will include various competitions, including 115 local and international races.
In the streets of the Chadian capital city, an actor is bringing culture to impoverished neighborhoods by organizing readings of poetry and plays.
Culture should be accessible to all. If we want to have a wonderful world, a harmonious world, everyone should be focused on the same dimensions to be able to dream together. And without culture, we don't be able to initiate development. And to initiate this stage of development, we need to invite people to think together.
The actor does not have a fixed place to tell his stories. He performs in public spaces and says it is his way of giving everyone the opportunity to discover and explore creativity. Among the activities Bonaventure organizes, one can name drawing with children and conducting acting classes. He believes music and theater bring other disciplines together, creating an avenue for enriching human connections. Residents, especially the children of the impoverished neighborhood, say they always look forward to Bonaventure's arrival. A first-of-its-kind selfie museum in the Central American country of Guatemala is gaining lots of attention from excited enthusiasts. The selfie museum is located in Antigua, Guatemala, and is made up of 40 rooms or scenarios. Each room is a recreation of a colorful theme. Wallpaper, wings, greenery, neon signs, and other props are all present to spark the interest of visitors. One room includes a levitating bed, and another is equipped with a spaceship. Other rooms have familiar scenarios of presidential offices and comic book characters for visitors to take photographs in. Several artists participated in creating the art illustrations. A zoo in Peru's capital city, Lima, is celebrating a rare hatching of endangered baby crocodiles. The Huachipa Zoo showcased three females and one male to the public on the World Wildlife Day. The four crocodiles were born in incubators as part of the conservation efforts for the reptile. This species is an American crocodile, which is on the endangered list of animals in Peru. Zookeepers say the black market and threats on their habitat have seen the crocodile population dwindle. The zoo regularly receives animals that were rescued from trafficking. Among those traits are tortoises, macaws, and monkeys.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The 2022 World Cup is reaching a fever pitch as hundreds of people line up at a shopping center in Qatar to take a picture with a trophy. The famous Golden World Cup trophy was unveiled during a ceremony at a mall in Doha, where excited football fans waited for their turn to see it. They were also given the option to take a selfie or have their photo taken professionally. While the competition is still nearly a year away, FIFA says more than a million tickets were requested within the first 24 hours after sales opened. The highest demand came from fans from Qatar, followed by Argentina, Mexico, and the United States, among others. Bangladesh is reviving the ancient tradition of producing a historically renowned fine hand-woven fabric called muslin. With the help of the government, the trade is making a comeback. Now, a workshop has been set up in Dhaka where weavers are being trained in the ancient art. They say it took them months to master the craft, working with incredibly fine hand-spun cotton yarns. The weavers say it takes them 8 hours to spin just 4 centimeters. Some varieties of the fabric are so fine that an entire muslin sari could fit inside a single matchbox.
There was a myth about muslin
that it was so delicate that it would pass through even a small ring. Look, it's true. There is space to squeeze in another piece of cloth through this ring as well.
Breathing life back into this ancient trade was not easy. Officials with a revival project say there was little knowledge about how this fabric was made. Plus, the rare cotton variant, which makes this fabric so expensive, was also lost. The precious fabric was the most extravagant of its era and popular in Mongol courts. It was also imported into Europe for much of the 17th century and transformed the style of the aristocracy there.
An art gallery in London, Tate Modern, is hosting an exhibition with a remarkable span of surrealist works. The exhibition, dubbed Surrealism Beyond Borders, features more than 170 artworks ranging from paintings and sculptures to photography and films. Works by more than 150 artists from over 60 years are on the display. The exhibit also has a wide geographical span and includes surrealist artworks from different countries. Some of the most prominent artists whose works are being exhibited include Pablo Picasso, Salvador Dali, and Ted Jones. The exhibition will run until August 9th. Impressive, creative, wonderful. That's how visitors describe the works of Vincent Hoch, a Dutch post-impressionist painter being displayed in an impressive art exhibition in the Argentine capital. Hundreds of Van Gogh's paintings are projected onto the walls of the gallery. The image bloom and ripple in front of the audience, creating a 3D-like and immersive experience. Van Gogh was one of the most famous and influential figures in Western art history of the 19th century. He is largely remembered for his impressionist style, a break from the old traditional art technique. He is also famous for his turbulent life, which was made for outlandish, emotionally charged paintings.
Students and staff gather for sizzling meat sandwiches as they signal their orders with their hands at a food truck in Pakistan's capital city of Islamabad. The Abbe Cow is no ordinary food truck parked on the campus of the Millennium Universal College. It's fully managed and run by staff with hearing impairments. At the beginning of the queue, a diagram shows simple phrases in sign language which customers use to order their food and communicate. The food truck is Pakistan's first mobile restaurant entirely staffed by deaf workers, providing an economic opportunity for them.
Having the startup here at our campus has been really fruitful. Not only have we created more awareness around the sign language amongst our students, but we've also created an inspiration for TMUC students to look up and pursue entrepreneurship as a career choice.
The project developer, Aisha Raza, says the majority of deaf youth end up unemployed and face inequality and discrimination. She says she wanted to create an opportunity for her brothers to economically thrive. The goal is to bridge communication gaps between the deaf and hearing communities and help remove language barriers. The food truck is the brainchild of a family where both parents and their sons are either totally or partially deaf.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of the Almighty Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, Salam.
Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. Thank you very much for choosing this program to listen to. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and we're going to speak about the companions of Imam al-Mahdi, peace be upon him.
يا ابن الزهراء بيا 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 يا ابن الزهراء بيا 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 يا ابن الزهراء بيا 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 بيا.
Today, Tuesday, is the 12th of Shaban, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of March, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. You're listening to today's special by IRIB English Radio, and now we'll listen to the companions of Imam al-Mahdi in the light of Quranic verses. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter Al-An'am, verse 89.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Ulaika alladhina atainahumul kitaba wal hukma wan nubuwwah. فَإِنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهَا هَؤُلَاءِ فَقَدْ وَكَّلْنَا بِهَا قَوْمًا لَيْسُوا بِهَا بِكَافِرِينَ.
Those are the ones to whom we gave the scripture and authority and prophethood. But if the disbelievers deny it, then we have entrusted it to a people who are not therein disbelievers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters, in this verse, three magnificent privileges which have been the base of all privileges of the prophets are referred to. Allah has commissioned a group of people who do not only accept Islam, but also protect it and guard it. They are such a group that never paved the path of infidelity and are surrendered to the truth. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, says that this verse is a refer to the special companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. On the continuation of today's special, the element of endurance during the period of the awaiting. Expectation without endurance is a null and worthless concept. Endurance is the major constituent of expectation. The beauty of expectation can only be achieved by endurance. Imam Reza, peace be upon him, says how good endurance and awaiting the deliverance are. Awaiting, therefore, means to endure all hardships and to await the one who is expected to come. There are many verses in the Holy Quran on enduring hardships, which are described as fortitude and patience. For example, we read the Luqman, the wisdom, gave his son advice, and be patient through whatever may visit you. That indeed is the steadiest of courses. In our traditions, the theory of expectation is frequently accompanied by the word sabr, that means endurance and patience. Imam al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, says, among the constituent of the religion of the Imam's line of religious conduct are piety and awaiting the deliverance through endurance.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to talk about some characteristics of the companions of the 12th infallible Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. According to Islamic hadiths, 313 companions, staunch companions of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, they'll pay oaths of allegiance to Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam beside the Kaaba in Mecca. According to other hadiths, out of these 313 companions of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, around 50 of them will be from the city of Kufa in Iraq, and the rest will come from other places. At the same time, we find that, for example, in the city of Talaqan in Iran, some of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam will be over there, or will come over there and will join Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. At the same time, according to Imam Ali alayhi salam, the companions of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam are very knowledgeable, and they are top-ranking managers, in the service of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. According to the sixth infallible Imam, Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, there are commanders, judges, and religious scholars. At the same time, we find that according to some hadiths, out of these 313 companions, some of them are ladies. So we find that they are both knowledgeable and skillful and quite reliable for the global mission of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. And the missions will be first of all concerned with fighting the tyrants, especially those tyrants who will oppose Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
IRIB English Radio, today's special and one question. Why did Imam al-Mahdi disappear? There are many reasons behind it. The most important reason of it will be disclosed when Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, will appear. Let us mention a few reasons. A very easy answer would be, this is Allah's will. His will is based on His infinite wisdom. The appearance of Imam al-Mahdi solely depends on the decision of Allah. He knows best how to act. The question might be as naive as asking why some people are black and some are white, why some are beautiful, why others are not. That is Allah's decree. And number two, a better answer, which also answers why some are beautiful and others are not, would be, it is a test. Allah could send all people to paradise directly, but He didn't, because He wanted to test us. The test of Allah is actually a test that proves the fact for ourselves as witness. Otherwise, Allah has the foreknowledge of everything.
Ya Ibn al-Hasan, 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 Ya Ibn al-Hasan.
You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio, and now the strength of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi in this part. He said, "Ah, that I had power to suppress you, rather I shall have recourse to a strong support." Chapter Hud, verse 80. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, explaining the verse says, "The power and strength which is desired by Hazrat Lut, Prophet Lut, peace be upon him, is in fact the strength of Hazrat Qa'im, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, and the steadfastness of his companions." Each companion of Imam al-Mahdi will possess the power and the capacity equivalent to 40 people. Their hearts will be stronger than iron. These traditions highlight the amazing power and strength of such companion of Hazrat Mahdi, such power that even a prophet like Hazrat Lut is. desirous of it.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
According to our ahadith, these companions of Imam al-Mahdi, the lucky 313, they have at least six qualities, at least, that I'll mention. So we begin by explaining these qualities. They have complete certainty in the wisdom and the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is in at-takween or at-tashri'. What do we mean? In at-takween, they submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complete submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning they never undermine or doubt that Allah is just. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Allah is fair and Allah is wise. Do you know what's the leading cause of atheism? It's because when people do not understand how Allah is just. They say there's evil, God can stop it. Why doesn't He stop it? That means there's no God, or they begin to undermine or doubt the justice and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've given many lectures about the problem of evil. The fact that people do not understand why there's evil in this world and they blame it on Allah. Why do we blame it on Allah? Blame it on human beings. Evil human beings that are causing this injustice in this world. So the quality of the 313 is that they have complete certainty in the wisdom and in the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in alam al-takween, in this world. Remember I mentioned the story of Prophet Musa? He told Allah, show me your justice. The story with the well, the three people. You see how Allah implemented justice without Musa realizing. Many times we think it's injustice. It's not injustice, it's justice. And if there is injustice in this world, Allah is not to blame. It's human beings, because this is a test. Allah gave us free will to see who believes and who disbelieves. If there is corruption and injustice in this world, the human race is to be blamed, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is number two, complete certainty in the justice and wisdom of Allah. They have certainty in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Quran, and the teachings of the Holy Quran. They accept the Quran. And they have certainty in it. They have certainty and belief in Rasulullah and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. They accept and believe in the Imams of Ahlul Bayt and especially the 12th Imam of Ahlul Bayt. So of course, amongst the qualities of the 313 is that they don't have doubts in Imam al-Mahdi. They don't have doubts in the existence of Imam al-Mahdi. Like I mentioned the hadith of the Imam, that they say the ta'wil of this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. The Imam says the ta'wil, the hidden meaning of this verse, is that they believe in the 12th Imam while he is in the state of ghaib.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Thank you very much for being with today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we will join you tomorrow. So we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Allahumma, Allahumma, li wali, al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.